You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 235. What is going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how's it going, my friend?
It's going, man. I'm entertained before even getting on this show. I just watched an episode. It's not even an episode. It's a session of city council here in Ottawa, and it's banana lands. Everything is happening. Councillors are chewing each other out. They're going after the mayor. It's all kinds of crazy. So I am hyped, entertained. I'm kind of sad with what's happening here, but like, it was very entertaining in a bad way. But either way, what's going on with you, buddy?
Not a whole lot. I want to bring something to something to light that I found and I tweeted out. Mitch knows, but I want to bring this into podcast form because so on Twitter, someone posted a meme and it was so spot on, I audibly gasped. It was after we recorded the post game yesterday. And it's just, you know, one of those Twitter memes that go viral. It has over 10,000 retweets, 163 likes. And it says, all podcasts have these three people hosting it. Now we only have two people. But if you look at the top person on this screen, and they're cartoons, by the way. I retweeted it, if you want to go on my account. Or Eyes on Isles retweeted it, too. I mean, it's uncanny. It's scary how real that is.
Yeah, so I'm the dad from oh god, why can't I remember? Oh, it's the movie with the emotions, the brain in the emotion. Oh, why can't I
have no idea. I didn't know that one. I knew the bottom two. I knew Ratatouille and Al's Toy Barn, but I didn't know the top guy. He's too new for me, yeah. I guess.
And you're the chef from Ratatouille. And you're right, it's perfect. Red, curly hair, tall, slender. It's just absolutely perfect. And you're right, the second I saw it, I went, oh, damn, I am identified, and I don't know how to feel about this.
I was dying laughing. So while the Islanders might not be entertaining us much anymore, I am very much so glad that I can get a laugh after doing another annoying post game with that. And I'm glad that you can get a laugh so that you don't cry with what's going on in both Ottawa and Islanders land.
Yeah, what's going on in Islanders land is also not a whole lot of fun for a very different reason, and not as real, not fun type of thing, if you will. But yeah, so how do we want to start this one segment? Do we want to say that at the same time, like, declare what's going on with this season?
All right, on the count of three. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three. It's over.
She dead.
Okay, close. Close. Yeah, it's I don't want to be at this point. We talked pretty much most of the season was us trying to say, like, I don't want to get to this point because there's still so much time left. But it never got better. And just between the loss to Seattle a little while ago and then the effort against Buffalo, and it's just things aren't changing. That's it. They needed things to change, and they haven't. So now they're in a spot where you had in front of you Boston, right? They were struggling. They're missing some key pieces. And the Islanders lost ground. They didn't make up any ground. They actually took a step back and lost ground. So even for the most positive, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy. And maybe you listening to this are saying, finally, what were these guys waiting for? And that's also fine, I guess. But that's it. It's over. It's really now coming to the realization. I don't know about the realization, but I guess in a way the realization. Acceptance and, okay, well, what the hell do we do now?
Yeah, that's the big point of the acceptance, because you're right. Some people have been calling this season for a while, and I was not willing to do so for a number of reasons, mainly because I just didn't want to sit here and be like, I hate losing and I hate winning. This sucks. But like, here we are, and this is really the reality of the situation. The Islanders have to, like, I plotted a graph of where the St. Louis Blues were in 2018-19 at this point of the year versus where the Islanders are. And the Islanders are behind where the Blues were even at this point of their season. And this was before they went on their 10-game winning streak. And it was actually 11-game winning streak, mind you. Like, the Islanders, that's what the Islanders are going to have to do to get back into the playoffs. Win, like, 11 or 12 games, and I did this on Twitter the other day, and, like, 65-plus percent of the games after that, like, 12-game winning streak. There is nothing to suggest that they are able to do that right now.
No, yeah, what? Outside of blind faith and saying, I hope that they do it, there's no tangible evidence that they are turning this thing around, which can, I don't want to completely derail the show as what are we in, maybe 3 minutes into this show, but I have something brewing inside of me that I feel like I got to let out in this forum or maybe talk through with you.
Okay.
If your first reaction to the Islanders having a bump in the road with Barry Trotz is you have to now move on from the coach, then I think Islanders fans don't deserve happiness, if that's truly the take, because how could you go 23 goddamn years without winning a playoff series, and then it comes in, wins coach of the year his first year, conference final, obviously it's bad. There is no excusing what happened this year. Year four was a waste, and now you have to go in and say, okay, both Lou and Barry have to say, how do we fix this? How do we get back and beyond to where we were? But at the first sign of adversity, with the best thing that's happened to this team since the dynasty, you're going to say, you know what? That's it. It's over. Pull the plug. And for what? Who do you want to bring in to coach this team? A Doug Waite, a Jack Capuano, some nobody you'll pluck out of the AHL. And then great. You go another 25 freaking years without doing a damn thing. And you're right back where you started. So that, I think, frustrates me more. And I understand where Islanders fans are coming from. Again, the expectations for this team were sky high. It was, okay, you went to two back-to-back conference championships. Now it's you go on and you win. That was my expectation. I thought they had a really good shot of doing that before this year, and it didn't happen, and I'm upset about it, and I am struggling to come to the realization or acceptance of it, but I don't know how anyone logically can say, yep, all right, first bump in the road, that's it, they're done.
Yeah, because, like, I'm just thinking of yesterday's loss, and the reason that I'm calling this season, and this is going to be a little bit of, not as, it's, anyways, when I look at yesterday's loss, the 6-3 loss to the Buffalo Sabres, it's not just that they lost that really made me like, done, it's over. It's how they did so. Specifically, that goal that Victor Olofsson scored. To me, that's the one that sunk the season for me. That sure. First goal by Victor Olofsson, a complete brain-dead move by the Islanders. They're going like, oh yes, let us all chase the puck into the corner. That'll end well for us. What the hell are you talking? That's not a coaching decision. And Barry Trotz indicated as much in the postgame. And you can say, like, well, maybe he's, like, you know, playing the devil, not the devil's advocate, but he's playing, anyways, he's kind of saying what he needs to say to kind of make him look not as guilty. But that's not the case. No. That is not a play that needs to be made. And that's the kind of crap that the Islanders have been pulling for weeks now. And it's why they're not going to get themselves out of it right now.
No, absolutely. But I'm sorry. I just had to get that out because I can't go on. I can't go on Twitter right now. The takes are too much for me. I just get mad every day when I go online after, especially after losses. It's not good.
It really isn't. And this is where we didn't want to be. Why? At least I, and I'm pretty sure you as well, kept moving the goalposts, like the positive goalposts, as we will in the season, saying like, oh well, if they can do this, it'll be better. There's still a chance. Like we kept moving the goalposts back. Admittedly so. This because we didn't want to get to this point where just everything sucks.
No way.
And like everything does suck because even if you're going like, all right, let's get the tank on, there is no way in hell that the Islanders are going to catch Montreal or Arizona. It's not happening in any realm of possibility unless they like they completely, I don't know, blow the whole thing up. And even that, I don't think they could. And we all know that they're not going to blow the thing up because they shouldn't.
No, and they exactly. They shouldn't. They shouldn't. It should be, okay, this was a mess up. How do we fix it? We're going to retool with what we have. Because they don't have a ton of we're going to get to in the second segment the tradable assets of what they could do to start the retool process at this trade deadline. But you're right. I kind of feel like stuck, I guess, because as you said, they are not going to, more than likely, they're not going to end up with a top pick. You did the odds today. The odds are extremely slim of them landing one because they're on pace to be what, like the ninth fewest in points percentage?
Not even on pace. That's what they are now, which is just going to be worse going forward, I would imagine.
Probably. But even still, I don't think they're going to be bad enough to get a top, I don't know, three pick. Probably more than likely. What do you think they pick? Somewhere 8 to 12 in that range?
Yeah, I would say 8 to 12. Like their stock of their ability to draft a top two pick, because it's only the top two that are going to be up for the draft or the lottery, I should say. I can't see them getting in a better position. They got a bunch of games in hand on a bunch of bad teams, and the Islanders being a bad team aren't as bad as some of these other teams. So it's just not going to go well. And if they end up in like 12th, if they end up in 13th, there's no way in hell they're going to be able to pick first or second. The most they can do is third. They can only jump up 10 spots max in this draft lottery.
Right. So moral of the story here is you are more than likely not going to draft an impact player for this year. I'm saying, you know, 3 years from now, who knows? Like maybe, you know, if you pick 10th and you have a situation where, you know, Noah Dobson to this team now or Oliver Wahlstrom to this team now, and that was 3 years ago. Okay, fine. Obviously the Islanders prospect pool needs help, but I also don't see the blow it up and tank for the rest of this year, because it's not like you're going to be in a spot to get someone who's going to help this team for the immediate future. It's going to be something that's going to be a help in 3 years from now.
And even then, like, even if they do win it, say what you will about Shane Wright. Shane Wright looks like a really good player. I see it as like an Alexis Lafreniere situation. He's not going to step in and change this franchise. He's not a franchise changing player. Good player, could be a top end player, but not like a Sidney Crosby ass, like at that type, like at that top of the pyramid type of thing.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard on the other way, maybe, but like there was still a year or so away from that. But as it stands now, there's no way in hell the Islanders are drafting a player and you're going to go like, yes, our team is 1,000 times or a lot better because we're bringing that player in. There just isn't.
No. So that's kind of, I guess the conundrum here is you're kind of stuck in the middle. So I don't think, I don't know. Rationally, I can't come to the blow it up and completely start this thing over.
No, and if anyone is saying, let's blow it up, just take a step back, go to Isles Cap Friendly page, and take a peek at some of those contracts. You are not unloading some of those deals that you want. Like, blowing it up means you get rid of everything. Scorched earth minus, like, Barzal, Wahlstrom, Dobson, Sorokin, probably. That's scorched earth. You can't get rid of absolutely everyone. You probably keep Bo or something like that. Pollock, maybe Pellick as well. But that's typically what you do in a rebuild. We're not in that situation at all. Mainly because you're not going to be able to move some of those names I didn't name.
Also, while you're on Cap Friendly, can you look at the cap space that's available for the 2022-2023 season?
For the Islanders, that is?
Yeah, for the Islanders. Because my point is they have money to use.
Yes.
Sign someone to make yourself better.
13.755 million.
And last time I checked, you have a goalie who has a $5 million cap hit that more than likely could be expended in this offseason to get that number up to $18 million in cap space. And sure, I know Noah Dobson needs a new contract, but is he going to get a huge money deal? No, he's probably going to get a bridge deal at, I don't know, what do you want to call it, $2-3 million, somewhere in that range, probably.
Yes, that sounds perfectly fair.
Okay, so then you have
maybe more, but I can't see that happening.
Right, but then that gives you $15 million to play with, and then you could also say, okay, let's try to get a Goudreau, a Meyer, a Forsberg in here, and then say, okay, and then you take, I don't know, $4 million and get like a serviceable defenseman on the left side, and you're probably fine.
Yeah, you'll have to re-sign Salo. That's also not going to cost you a whole lot. Probably $1 million at most.
It's not even the NHL this really. So it's right. It's probably going to be, I don't know, 800,000. I don't even think it gets as high as a million.
Does it do like the Devontae's bridge deal, right? That wasn't that $750,000 for 2 years, wasn't it, for Devontae's?
Yeah, it was. Yes. No, it might have been 700, actually. I think that was the league minimum then. I don't even think it was 750.
Right. It was something like stupid low. It was exactly $700,000. You're right. Yeah. That could very well be it for Robin Salo, because it's kind of the same arc in a way. The point you're trying to make there, and is a very valid one, the Islanders have money to spend. So why they're not going to make a whole bunch of cap clearing moves. They've already done that this year.
Right. So then again, we go back to the logic of, okay, that to me, that screams retool instead of blow up and try again. I don't get it. Am I missing something? I feel like I'm crazy. I feel like I'm the outsider whenever I go online. Please talk me off the ledge, because I don't get it.
It's not it's not a retool. Or sorry, a rebuild. It is not a rebuild. The Islanders cannot rebuild, first off. They're in no way, shape, or form ready for a rebuild. You're not going to go like, well, we didn't get it. Blow it up, baby. Let's see it. See you on Sunday, right? Like, as everything's blowing up behind you. Like, right. No. Lou's going to be on the phone trying to figure out, and I'm sure he's already got a general idea of what he's trying to do here, on how to approach a trade deadline, bring in some probably some draft capital, maybe even some prospects, but that's not to be like, these are our guys for the future. That's probably going to be for trade capital to pick up players that he's looking to pick up later down the road, probably at the draft.
Yeah, which makes a ton of sense. You'll take, I've said it a million times because of how I thought, you know, well, he's played this year in Zach Parise. I don't want to trade Zach Parise, but if you're telling me I can get a, I don't know, third round pick, and then that's now an additional third round pick that you could add to your arsenal. And you know, in these deals, it's always, hey, here's a, I don't know, a first, a third, and a prospect that's down a little bit, and okay, now you got a immediate impact player, and it's because you had Zach Parise for half a season and decided to sell.
Yeah, you spent league minimum on a guy and you got someone that, you know, maybe turns out into something, or you package it for something else. Right? Like, it's just, yeah. So when it comes to the retool rebuild situation, anyone who's on the retool side, and specifically on the we got to get rid of Barry Trotz side, I don't know what to say to you. Like, there's no one better than Barry Trotz out there. And you say what you will about the prospects, and I know we've all said it, but I'll take him being a little bit harder on prospects than someone who doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Right? I mean, look, who's the coach before? You had Doug Waite. He was flying by the seat of his pants. Sure, they're scoring points by the bucket load, but they were, I mean, Nick Leddy was a goddamn minus 42.
Right? And no one could forget that one, apparently.
No, we couldn't. So, yeah, I don't know. I've become more and more frustrated, and as the team loses, the takes continue to fly. So I am going to try to my very best to just put the blinders on and get through the next couple of months here, and then get into off-season mode, which will be a lot more fun, I think. But just because the Islanders missed the playoffs this year, I don't think means that the future is 1,000% doomed.
No, it is right now. The immediate future is not good, but the not-so-immediate future is much, much better, I would say.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with you there. So anything else on this, or do we want to transition now and get into guys they can move and maybe what they can get back?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move to that part.
Okay. So we met Zach Parise is a guy that we mentioned here, and he seems like an obvious choice, signed to a veteran minimum deal, and is producing relatively well, 15 points, 4 goals, 11 assists in 43 games. The effort is there, and you know, in the playoffs, you need depth scoring, and that screams, hey, you know, if someone's going to need a third line guy who could maybe give you a little spark in the playoffs. I think it's someone will give up a pick for him.
Yeah, although apparently, if you look to, so Kevin Kurz wrote a piece, and he's got some comments from one person saying he can play there, but that means on a fourth line, but you want a little bit more maybe size and energy. I'm sorry. I understand he's not the biggest player, but energy, like, The guy doesn't stop skating. He gives it his all every shift. I don't know what the hell this other person is talking about.
No. Yeah, maybe because he's not... I mean, you mentioned this on one of the million shows we did, too. Maybe because he's not Cal Clutterbuck and doesn't throw the body around like a madman. But in terms of skating, hustle, getting to the right places, being a smart player, he's going to do all those little things for you.
Yeah, a different person says, it just seems like he's almost on empty. What the hell have you been watching, anonymous source? Yes, he's not putting up a ton of points. He's on a league minimum deal. That's fine. You expect this type of production from a league minimum deal. And he's probably been the most complete player for the Islanders from day one through to game 43. He hasn't missed a game. And they went through like a whole COVID thing. And he's like dodging and deflecting and ninja like karate chopping COVID as it's coming at him. And they're like, man, he's probably on empty. What are we talking about here, man?
Right. I don't know if they just like woke up and was like, huh, he doesn't have 15 goals at this point of the year. He must be, you know, not a good player anymore. Well, he's not playing on the top line. He's not like that's not well. I mean, he is unfortunately at sometimes, but you know what I'm trying to say here. It's in a depth role. He has transitioned into depth role-ness at this point in his career at 37 years old, and I don't know. Is the third round pick probably a fair valuation? Would you say?
I would say so. Yeah, I really think so. Like we're not talking about depth defensemen, but even then, you trade second round picks for guys you don't even intend to play. And I'm talking about second round picks for defensemen here, right? Like second round picks for like a random defenseman sometimes. Like, come on. Yeah, you can get a third round pick from a third liner. Easy, for sure.
Another name, and I'm going to stick with on the forward side for now before we move over to defense. Cal Clutterbuck's name has been coming up a lot. And the Islanders very much so love that fourth line. But Cal is also someone who I could see a team trading for because they are looking for that little extra physical presence going into a playoff run.
Yeah, this is essentially what those anonymous sources were talking about. And by essentially, I mean like a guy like Cal Clutterbuck, right? This is a guy that if you bring him in, he's going to rattle some cages. He's going to give you energy. He's going to hit anything he sees. And he can maybe pop in a few points for you down the stretch. He plays on the penalty kill. That's the type of guy that you want to add for sure. No questions about it. Now, what do they get for him is a whole other question.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you put it in that same range, like a third round range, or do you think it'd be less than that?
I think it'd be more than that.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't think he's going to like bring in a prospect and a first rounder, but you're talking about a guy who plays well, who still has quote unquote something left in the tank and is giving you all those intangibles, if you will, minus actually having a ring. He's gone on long stretches, right, with the Islanders down in the playoffs twice in a row. So he's kind of like quote unquote been there, maybe not in the final round, but you know, pretty damn close. And even recently, and he's giving you some production, right? Like I'm just trying to open it up here now. And for some reason I can't click properly. But he's got, 5 goals, 11 points in 43 games. Obviously, that's not like, oh boy, let me sign up for that. But he's a guy who you know can give you something physically and a little bit offensively. And that's kind of what people are looking for when it comes to the playoffs.
Yep. No, definitely. So if someone is willing to offer even more than a third round, then I say, great. All right, sign me up.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to like build a comparison here, and I'm having a real hard time finding what happened at the trade deadline last year, because to find who was that player, kind of like Cal Clutterbuck, but I can't remember who it was.
I don't really have someone coming to mind off the top of my head, right now for a team. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I know that Blake Coleman went for a lot, and that's the kind of... Although Blake Coleman scored a lot more than Cal Clutterbuck is doing right now. But Tampa picked up another guy. It wasn't Blake Coleman. It was someone else. Barclay Goodrow, wasn't it? How much does Goodrow...
I don't remember. See, this is the hard part about doing it on the fly.
So let's look at Barclay Goodrow right now. Like Goodrow, 17 points, 24 points 1 year with the trade year. Had 24 points in 68 games, 62 games with the San Jose Sharks before he was traded to Tampa Bay. And that trade, if I can, let me just click on him here. That trade was Barclay Goodrow went to the Tampa Bay Lightnings for Anthony Greco and a first round pick. That's a lot. I don't think that's what they're going to get for Cal Clutterbuck.
No, I would be dancing for joy if you got a first round pick for Cal. And I like Cal Clutterbuck a lot. Really good Islander, but.
Yeah, let me just look at the production here. Oh, sorry, not the production, but the contract. So 2019-20 is when he went. He had one more year left, he being Barclay Goodrow, on a $925,000 contract.
Okay, there you go. That's why the first rounder comes into play.
So yeah, then maybe you're getting an extra year and super crazy cheap.
Yeah, so maybe a second round pick for the rental of just this year. With I mean, obviously they could re-sign him wherever he gets traded to, but okay, I think maybe a second then.
Yeah, like, and then you're getting picks, right? And everyone's like, that's not going to help us. It doesn't help immediately. We're not going in like, let's draft another Aalto in the second round. Possible, but like that's not what Lou Lamoriello is trying to do with these pick accumulations. He could very well just get Cal Clutterbuck back again. And now you've added a second round pick that you could, now that you already have one, package that to do something with.
Yes, which that's the ultimate goal. Are there any other forwards that you deem expendable?
Sure, there's a few players that are expendable, but can we actually move them? Probably not.
No, that meant more along those lines of actual potential to be moved. I would agree with you. I don't think there is one.
I don't really think so. I really don't. That there's no one else there. Like Austin Zarnik would have been one, but he gone. So yeah, no.
So let's move over to the defense. I would assume Chara and Green, you put in a similar boat here.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what is it there? Kind of what I guess Lou gave up for Green a couple of years ago, a future second?
Yeah, so a year off, second round pick, so 2021 second for a 2020 trade, and a warm body to kind of like swap numbers. So we might be getting a prospect back type of thing that's just kind of like another dart on the board. And maybe a 2023 second round pick, maybe. Might be a third just because of age type of thing.
Which, I mean, I think you do just to get the pick numbers up. Because like you said, it's not like you're going to necessarily go in and be like, okay, now you have 10 picks in this draft class. We're going to draft 10 guys. It's okay. Now you're more flexible to do other things like trades and move around on the roster. But yeah, I'm with you there. I think in both instances, you know, maybe someone does want that veteran experience on the blue line. It seems like people are trading for depth all the time for a defenseman to gear up for a run.
Absolutely. So like I really don't see why someone wouldn't. And this isn't going to be like a Braden Coburn situation where the Islanders traded a seventh round pick to get him. Maybe you see that, not even with Chara, because like these guys are playing minutes, right? Like Braden Coburn was playing minutes in Ottawa. These guys are playing big minutes on the New York Islanders, and they have pedigree attached to their name.
Right.
You got Zdeno freaking Chara and Andy, and not Andy freaking Green, but like Andy Green. He might be old, but he's not super old, right? And he's obviously proving his worth with the Islanders, at least to a certain extent.
I mean, he was a former captain. Like that stuff matters. I mean, we look at it as cliches, and fans look at it as cliches, and I get it. It is very cliche, but around the league, that stuff still kind of holds value.
Absolutely. And like Chara's got a cup. He's been there. He's a legend in the game. He's got incredible workout habits. Like any team would be happy to bring in a guy like that. Even if it's not like we're bringing this guy in to win the cup today, someone like Minnesota might bring that guy in, might bring him in and say, like, we're bringing this guy in to boost what we already have, add to what we already have in terms of our ethic and our just the culture around the team. Yeah. That's a guy you bring in to do that in Zdeno Chara. Yep. Even if you know, like, this guy isn't the piece to put us over right now, but he might. And if not, worst case scenario, he gives us something we didn't have before going forward, at least.
Right. Shows kind of the young guys the ropes for a couple of months and, you know, kind of sparks the process of you getting to that point. Agreed.
Exactly.
Would you put Scott Mayfield in that list?
I would.
Okay.
100%.
So I think that's the more interesting conversation than what you could get for Mayfield, because he has another year, obviously, very, you know, at a very cheap cost.
So Barclay Goodrow, right, we just talked about him, had a really cheap contract, an extra year on it, had a good productive year that year, got a first, and Anthony Greco, which was a undrafted player. It was, I don't know, he's 28 now, so he would have been like late 20s type of thing. But I think the Islanders can definitely get a first round pick for Scott Mayfield and something. Because we're talking about right-hand shot, shut down, big body defenseman, and I don't think he's having a career year per se, but he's having a pretty damn good year offensively. You add all that in, and a contender is going to look at that and say, I'm going to pay a first plus for that easy.
Yeah, because then, like you said, for the Barclay Goodrow, that's not just for this year. It's a next year thing, too. It's good against the cap. Like, I don't know. I feel like if Scott Mayfield was on the open market now, what do you think he gets? $3 million a year?
3 to 4, yeah, probably.
Okay, so you're essentially saving $2 million in a cap crunch. I definitely think a first would be on the table for him.
And he's on a career year. He's on pace for 25 points. That's like his seasons combined the last 2 years.
Pretty much. But that's the thing. He's not a stellar defenseman, but solid, very solid third pair guy. Like, I don't know. If you're going for it, that's what teams are looking for. They're not necessarily looking for an absolute star at the deadline. Usually those teams who are contenders, they have those things. They're looking for complementary pieces, which is what Mayfield is.
Exactly. It's not even like a Braden Coburn situation again. You're bringing a guy just in case one of your guys gets injured. This is, you're bringing in a guy who you know you can place in your, dare I say it, top four, at the very least, bottom four. You can put him on your third pairing, and you know he's going to kill penalties, and he's probably going to break someone's rib cross-checking them. He's not afraid to do that. And as disgusting as that sounds, that matters in hockey. GMs look for that kind of guy. Yeah, it sucks to say, but it's true.
He's averaging 20 minutes a night, big body, right-handed shot, physical, kills penalties.
Like, the list goes on and on and on, and then you add the cap hit. For not just this year, but next year. Pfft. First plus, easy. Like, can we talk into first, second? First plus a second round prospect that's doing well? You're starting to get into a situation where you're bringing in two pieces for him that you might not necessarily want to keep, but you can move off for something else. And if you're adding a first, hey, look out. Now you got two firsts in your retool chest. That looks pretty damn good.
Yes, it does. You're right. That's probably it for defense, I would imagine, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else, unless you want to get into like the Thomas Hickey thing, but even Thomas Hickey ain't playing very well for Bridgeport, so I don't think anyone's coming calling for him.
No. Semyon Varlamov, is that one that you want to talk about now, or do you just want to kick that down the road?
No, I think we can talk about it in so much that like, we're going to have to kick that one down the road.
Yeah, that screams a right before the week of the draft move, right?
Yeah, I can't see... Some teams might want like depth goalie, but like the contract is so big, you're adding an extra year to that. Maybe Edmonton's going to be wildly desperate to do it, but I can't see that happening. We'll see. I don't think that they're going to trade Semyon Varlamov. If they do, so be it. Like, whatever, that's $5 million gone. You know Lou's going to be trying to do it, but I just can't see anyone picking him up.
No. Yeah, I don't think so either.
But if they do, like, that's going to be a hell of a return for the Islanders.
Yeah, I think offseason, I would think first round pick would be on the table.
Yeah, probably. I don't know if it's going to be a first. I think for us, the big worry or the big takeaway from moving Varley would be moving $5 million.
Okay, so maybe then it doesn't get that high because of the losing the $5 million.
I think that's the big thing for the Islanders, moving that extra $5 million and bringing in, like, let's say a second and a prospect would be massive for them. Just because, like we mentioned earlier, with going shopping, like, you get an extra $5 million to go shopping with, look out. On a team that is looking to spend, look out.
Yep. So maybe the future isn't as bad. I think I feel a little better after talking about that.
Yeah, it's not great. It's going to hurt for a while, but... It could be very good at the end if they spend their money properly.
Yes. So with that, shall we talk about some of the young guys now?
Let's do it. I spoke to Etulioukas just yesterday, it was, Good chat with him. The big thing for me is I wanted to talk about his contract situation, because you don't have a cap friendly for European prospects,
right?
And so his contract is up at the end of the year, and I said, all right, well, what say you to North America? And he's like, I'm in no rush to head to North America right now. So he's not saying I want to leave Europe, and he's not saying I don't want to leave Europe. It's just he's not going to try to force a move to North America if one doesn't exist right now.
Right, if he doesn't have to.
And I don't think there's one there for him yet. I don't think the Islanders are ready to bring him in. I think they want to see him grow in the role that he's got right now. And he's doing very well for TPS. Like on their fourth line, everyone is noticing them. T is telling me that Finnish announcers are noticing it. I don't understand Finnish, so I don't pick up on that when I'm watching the games. I know Aturatu is picking up on it. Not only did I see Aturatu talk to him after a game, talk to Etu Lucas, that is, but I asked Aturatu about Etu, and he's like, yeah, he's killing it, man. He's absolutely killing it there.
That's great. That's a great sign.
Yeah. Going forward from there, we've got Logan Cockerell, who just won the Bean Pot for BU. And if you don't know what the Bean Pot is, not just you, Matt, but you at home listening, it's a big tournament in Boston that they have every year with the four big colleges, the hockey colleges, BU, Boston College, Northeastern, mm-hmm. and Harvard. They all play a weekend tournament. BU has not won it since 2015 when Jack Eichel was there. Logan Cockerell has been there for 5 years now. This is his fifth one, and they've never won it. Winning it is a huge deal. He's also the captain. And he's turned into one hell of a player since they moved him to the wing.
Okay.
They've tapped into something with him on the wing. Do the Islanders sign him? I think so. Lou Lamoriello seems to want to bring in just about everyone under the sun, because why not? And by that, I mean everyone under the sun in the prospect pool.
Then why not
I don't know. I plan on asking Rush soon. I just want to... I don't want to just be like, so what's going on with you and the Islanders? I'm going to get to that at some point. But right now, if speaking about Russell, I know they're in a break, and I know he's just trying to practice and stuff. They had like 9 days of practice, he just told me.
Wow.
Because like they're in a break right now for the Olympics, the German league. Okay. So he's just kind of going, not stir crazy, but just kind of like, the season, God dang it. Because he gets injured. He's out for like super long. They come back. They're gone again for the Olympics. It's just all kinds all over the place.
Yeah, that's got to be annoying.
Yeah, for sure. And outside of that, we still don't know what the hell's going on with Jakub Skarik. Has not played for a little while. With Corey Schneider up, this would have been a huge opportunity. Sorry, with Semyon Varlamov out, it would have been a huge opportunity for Jakub Skarik to at least sit on the bench. I would have kept him at the AHL level anyways, but like I'm sure they would have brought him up just to kind of like, you know, put their hand, their arms around him. But we don't know where he is. We have no idea. The Bridgeport Islanders aren't saying anything, and it's been a while. I mused that it could be COVID, because they, being the Bridgeport Islanders and the AHL, are very cagey with that.
Okay.
I'm not so sure anymore, because it's been pretty freaking long now.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a strange one. I feel like if it was COVID, we would have found out by now.
Yeah. So, well, with the AHL, they're not oversight, but just like their announcements of that kind of stuff isn't very they're not very forthcoming with that stuff, and they don't have to be if they don't want to, and mm-hmm. that they chose not to.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye out, but interesting. Yeah.
Not sure what's going on there. And he was playing really well before that, right? It was goalie of the month in January, and then February, nowhere to be found. Oh, so, well. Yeah. And still no update on Ben Mirigas. I should say. I've been trying to find something, and what the hell's going on there? Have found nothing. It's clearly not him going pro, because he would have gone pro by now. So that, from everything I heard, it's... Something happened off campus that led them to cut ties.
That's not good.
It is not good. I have not found out what that is. I don't know if I want to. Maybe it's not that bad. But it was clearly bad enough where they had to break ties. So
it's scary. We're not going to speculate, obviously, but it doesn't sound very good if that's the case.
The only other thing it could be is they did bring in another defenseman, and I've heard that the coach can ruffle some feathers and bring in a new guy that would just ostensibly take time away from Ben Mirigas, probably didn't look right. And he's probably like, well, if I'm not going to play, then what the hell am I doing here?
That's also fair. Would much rather it be that than something, you know, significant off ice.
The only reason I don't know if it would be that is you'd think that he'd find another place to play right now.
Yeah, you just think, all right, that's it. We're going to call it for now.
Yeah, so that's the update on the prospect pool with all the latest goings-ons and drama there.
All right, shall we do the quiz?
Let's do the quiz.
I'm nervous.
I laugh a little bit because this is another Spiz special. Spiz has really helped me out here with these.
That jerk.
He found a guy that I don't know if you're going to guess because I do not remember this player. But here we go. As you know, every week we have a Mystery New York Islander quiz for you where I, usually, and now it's been Spiz, actually, have a Mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, and you at home to guess. The clues get progressively easier as we go. Sorry, I got a little bit of vertigo there. You've got 5 clues. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
First, I was an undrafted player.
That could be almost anybody. Don't know. I don't have anyone yet.
2, I've played one game at the NHL level, and it was in 2008-2009. So you know he's an Islander player, so that one game was with the Islanders.
Next.
I only played 11 minutes in that game, and it was a 5-1 loss to the Montreal Canadiens in April of that year, or that season, I should say. So April 2009, didn't play a ton of minutes, so like probably fourth line guy, undrafted in the 08-09 season.
I don't even have a semblance of a clue right now.
Yeah. 4. This is how hard this one is going to be. Maybe someone at home already guessed it. I never would have guessed it. 4. My last name is Bentivoglio. I know we're only on clue 4, but that's how easy I've got to make it.
Are you trolling me? Is this like a made-up name that you're just trying to get me to guess?
I swear to God it is not.
Okay, I have no idea.
5. My first name starts with an S, so a little bit of guessing still involved for you. We know mannish name. Bentivoglio played for the Islanders. Fourth liner.
Stewart.
Sean.
Should have known. How could I forget him? Islander great.
When Spiz sent it to me, I went, I have never seen that person in my life. And sure enough, he has one NHL game. It was in 08-09 against Montreal. I don't remember Sean. He played a lot for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers then, but I do not remember him at all.
Nope. That name that you told me, but I don't, no recollection, not even a little bit.
So Sean, if you're listening, sorry, I forget that you played for the Islanders. That must have been one hell of an achievement. And I'm not saying that sarcastically because I would have loved to even just play one game at the NHL level, even if it was only 11 minutes in one game.
Could you imagine?
And against the Habs too. Wow.
Could you imagine how good you have to be even to make the NHL for one game?
Right. Like even just to be like an NHLer, and we say it all the time, like, oh, he's just a replacement lover, an NHLer. He can beat the crap out of me with a puck on a paw, and that's for damn sure.
Yeah, the jump from normal person to even like replacement level at the highest of levels is insane.
I remember playing pond hockey once, and like a kid was there who played junior hockey. He was playing for the 67s. And he punked us all. I'm not a great hockey player, but I'm okay. And there were a lot of us. It looked like those videos where you have, like, I just remember 2 Korean soccer players playing against 100 kids, and they schooled them. That's what that guy was doing, and he was a junior-level player.
Right. Scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get on over to the social segment. We'll see what's going around on Isles Twitter. What do you got for us this week, Mitch?
First one here comes from, it's just loading, Rich Isles. I think we all know who Rich Z is. If anyone knows this booth, where this booth is set up, please let me know. And it's a picture of the Peanuts. And I forget the character names outside of Charlie Brown and Linus. But it says psychiatric help, 5 cents. The doctor is in, and it's 2 Islanders fans. Yeah, we kind of need it right now.
That was going to be my first one too. So that just kind of goes to show you that we are in the same boat there. But the phenomenal tweet from Rich, as always, a good follow on Twitter. But yes, I needed it at the start of the episode. Like I said, I feel a lot better from where I was at the start of this episode to now. So it's working.
Yeah. So if you don't know, sorry, I usually put the Twitter handle out there, but it's a Z-Man Isles. People probably already know that, but just in case, there you go.
Kind of going off of how I was, speaking in the first half here, Daniel Friedman, Dan J. Friedman says, if your response to this season is Isles should fire Barry Trotz, you have absolutely lost your mind. And I just want to echo that because I unfortunately have seen that online and not just from one person. So I double that.
I'm with you.
I triple it. Like, no. If you're going to say, like, I wish we had this other coach in instead, that might add something to it. But you can't just be like, fire him. Very cool. For who? John Quenneville. There's a reason he's not coaching right now. And it's not because he's not a good coach, but like there are other factors that go into deciding who's a coach.
Yeah. Babcock? No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Tortorella? So, also, no, thank you.
That's not an improvement.
No. No, it's not.
It really isn't. So there we go. My next one is it's Rocco C. So it's at that's at its underscore Rocco. No matter how bad this team is playing, I will always love them. Hashtag Isles. Yep. For sure.
I agree with you there.
I see a lot of like, they're causing me all kinds of problems and I can't go to sleep at night because I'm so mad. I still love them.
No, I do too. And there are a lot of likable characters on this team too, which I think makes it even more sad. Like I said, I'm honestly genuinely more mad at the Islanders fans than I am this team, which maybe my anger is pointed at the wrong spot. And again, this is maybe a me thing, but yeah, I love this stupid team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. What's your next one?
My last one comes from Mike Comito, who says, on this day in 2001, Humpty Dumpty 39, who we know who that is, Rick DiPietro, recorded his first NHL victory. And it's, well, one, just congrats and, you know, love that for DP. But the picture he used, I will show Mitch, just phenomenal, phenomenal mask.
One hell of a mask. I remember that one.
Just stellar. One of the best that I remember.
Yeah, absolutely. I still remember his reaction when it was just this season and recently when John Tortorella said like they can all go screw off or something to the Canadian media about like the Michigan, and his reaction between him and Arda was like, did I just hear that right? What, he deserves to be on a mic, and he still is obviously for ESPN Radio, but more of Rick, please.
He is like a phenomenal broadcaster. During the intermission, it was probably the last time the Islanders were on ESPN, because I don't watch a ton of the ESPN hockey broadcast, but during the he was literally like standing up and like showing how like a goalie would go about doing something like on camera. Like that is more of that. That's what we need from one, he's entertaining, and number two, like actually showing. It's not just like sitting at the desk all stiff like, I am going to talk hockey now, and this is what happened, and this, no, like, he was like, hey, so anyway, like, it's casual, it's fun, that is what we want, more of that, please.
I still remember him ripping his shirt with, like, the grises right underneath
yes.
it.
Yes.
Hilarious.
When he bit the plastic rat, the head off the rat. Another great one.
You need that life. You can't just be like, we want to get pucks in deep. Like, we get that from the players. Like, hearing Ryan Pulock and, like, Noah Dobson talk... Oh my God, boys, get some intonation. But like, that's not what Rick DiPietro is, and it's great to have him.
Yes, without a doubt.
That was my last one. That's all I had.
All right. So before we go, wherever you listen to the show, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating and review. It really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support there. You can follow along with us on social media, Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY, Mitch is TLO Mitch. Facebook, Facebook.com, Eyes on Isles. The Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. $5 a month gets you a post-game show after every single game. It gets you a mailbag show. It gets you a Discord with a bunch of Islanders fans. It's a ton of fun over there. Right, Mitch?
Good time. Like, I don't know how many questions we have right now. It's not loading for me, but that's good old Canadian internet for you. But good times. I'm sure Spiz is going to have a bomb of a question for you this week.
I hope so. We like to have fun with it.
Yep.
And yeah, last but not least, I mean, you could check out the website for our articles, eyesonisles.com. And yeah, appreciate all the love and support there. But thank you for listening to this episode, because I think Mitch and I needed it more as much as maybe you guys needed or wanted to hear the episode of what we had to say. I think we needed to get some of this stuff out. I know that's how I feel anyway.
That's how I feel. I needed to get it out. And we're going to have a couple months of getting it out, because we still have all of March and April to play.
Amazing. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.